Okay, so a couple of years ago, I was at the Philadelphia airport, and I had the privilege of sitting next to one of my heroes. He was probably one of the greatest living legends in my time. And he, even though he was famous and popular, he was sitting there all by himself. Well, he had his wife with him. They were not being bothered by anyone. Maybe it was because people respected him, or maybe it was because the Parkinson's that he had, you know, it was uncomfortable for people, and people knew that he was, I don't know, he was just slow. He just was having a hard time. But he was sitting there in this airport, and I remember I was sitting right next to him. All the things I wanted to say and ask, but I didn't say anything. I just, you know, was next to him. There was a moment whenever his wife was coming back from getting something to eat, and she had a napkin, and she threw it at him, and it hit him right in the face, laying on the ground. Very slowly, this man, shaking, reached down, picked up his napkin, and somehow became young again. He picked it up, and he just threw it at her, and he went back to being slow and shaking. And I thought to myself, it was for a moment. I saw him, even if it was just for a moment. One of my greatest legends. And I wonder if the passion inside of him was still there. Inside that fragile mind, that fragile body, did he still have the same passion he had whenever he knocked out Sonny Liston or Joe Frazier or George Foreman before the grill? Did he still have it? Show that picture there, Brian. We lost a legend yesterday, but I tell you, passion is an interesting thing. As fragile as he had become, I think at some level that passion still burned inside of him. It was just trapped inside a body that couldn't see it through. But it was a moment I'll never forget. I'm going to ask you a question today, and I want everybody to look at me real quick. Everybody, you want to see your eyes? I'm going to ask you a question because we're going to be talking about this for the next several weeks. Are you ready? Here's the question. What are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? For 3 weeks in June, we'll be looking at what gets us fired up. We'll be looking at three men who I think have passions that are worth exploring, worth remembering, worth talking about. And today, we're going to talk about Jeremiah. So everybody turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah. It's in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 1. You know, it's interesting. In our faith culture, lots of people don't necessarily spend time in the Old Testament. I've had several people ask me, I'm not going to say several, a few, ask me, why do we still preach from the Old Testament? You know, shouldn't we be preaching from the New Testament? Personally, I think that's a shame. You know, the Old Testament are the scriptures that Jesus knew and loved and memorized. The whole Bible is one complete story. Doing away with one, it's a little silly. You know, how could we think that the Old Testament is not valid? The scriptures, these are the ones Jesus studied. These are the ones he loved. He memorized. He was passionate about scripture, about the word of God. His scriptures, these scriptures, he fulfilled them. Today, we talk about one of Jesus' heroes. Have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus had heroes? You ever think about Jesus had a hero in the Old Testament? I think Jeremiah was probably one of Jesus' heroes. This is a man who was all in. So let's look. Jeremiah chapter 1. Let's start reading in verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of King Josiah, son of Amon of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of King Jehoiakim, son of Josiah of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of King Zedekiah, son of Josiah of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. You may gloss over some of that as this is just historical information. But let me fill in some of the in-between lines here. Jeremiah's father was Hilkiah, A man named Hilkiah was also the high priest during the reign of Josiah. If you don't remember Josiah, Josiah was the king of Israel who became king at age 8 years old. I look at my son Liam and I think, could he be a king at 8 years old? I wonder if they had special robes for that little chubby 8-year-old boy in Josiah. I wonder. And you know, Josiah came to be king in a time where Israel had completely forgotten who they were, what they were about. They had had several kings before who were awful. They were so bad that they had lost the book of the law. You know, they didn't have a whole lot of Bibles. They didn't have printings and scrolls. They had maybe one copy of this word, and then it was so sacred. They had a copy, and whenever it was, you know, they would copy it, they would burn the other. This was sacred material, and they lost it. So at age 16, Josiah had been king for 8 years. At age 16, somebody finds the book of the law whenever they're looking through maybe the temple or something. And they bring it to Josiah, and Josiah reads it. And I tell you, it fired him up. He became passionate. He got so fired up, he single-handedly reestablished Israel as a godly kingdom. Now, Hilkiah was high priest during this time. So if this was the same Hilkiah that's Jeremiah's father, imagine the conversations in this family. Jeremiah was born into a time that saw a few strong people who were passionate about the things of God, and it changed a nation. These people were passionate about how great their country was, how great it was going to be. And you know, we here in Texas, we know a little bit about passion, don't we? We know what it means to be passionate about our state. I was talking to my daughter, I'm sorry, Liv, and I was asking her, do you remember the name of the general that we defeated to become Texas? And she says, no. I said, what? You're seventh grade Texas history. Sorry. And I'm like, this is important to know. We're Texans. We should know. How many of you know what his name was? Oh my goodness, folks. Santa Anna, right? You know, I'm passionate about Texas history. Texas history is important. That's the Battle of San Jacinto is something to be passionate about. But you know, okay, I'll bring it down a little bit. There are some other things that we are passionate about in Texas. Okay, one of those things is what? Bluebell ice cream. Okay, and I just saw that picture and I said, that is just perfect. That encapsulates, I think, the entire state of Texas on that right-hand side. You know, people lined up for hours waiting for them to restock the shelves for ice cream, which is kind of silly until you take the first bite and then you remember, oh yeah, I remember. We're passionate about that. What else are we passionate about? We're passionate about Friday Night Lights football, right? This Friday Night Lights, it's not just, you know, football, it's Texas football. We know about Texas football. It's a major motion picture. It's a series on television. We know this is from us, right? Passionate about this type of stuff. By the way, I know that a lot of you are very passionate about football, but I'm just going to encourage you. In football season, whenever you want to talk to any coach that may happen to be in the room about the loss or the win that previous Friday night, don't. Just don't. I would say invite them out to lunch and ask them then, because you know they're here to worship God too, by the way. Not to talk about football. But we're passionate about football. Okay, the third thing we're passionate about, Tex-Mex, right? The shrimp is it's not necessarily Tex, but it's good. I could go on. You know, the one thing you don't want to do is wait in line at a Mexican food restaurant because you just go across the street. You know, they're just as good, I'm sure. Don't wait in line. If it's any longer than 5 minutes, do not wait in line. People are passionate here in this area. We're passionate in Texas. You know, we're passionate about sports. Why? Because it's really good here. Go ahead and go to that next slide there, Brian. I don't want to get people too hungry. There should be one right before. People are really passionate about sports. Why? Because it's really good. So, okay, AT&T Stadium holds 105,000 people. The ballpark in Arlington holds 49,000 people. Sometimes they overlap, and those are equally full, both of those things. Let's see, American Airlines holds 19,000 people. And this is amazing. People go and they flock to these things. But it's not just professional sports. It's high school sports. There's a girl from Arkansas. She was 17, and she was on a select softball team in McKinney. She would drive from Arkansas to McKinney for practice 7 hours each way. She did this so many times because she wanted to be on this select team. She drove 7 hours here, 7 hours home, and did it several times a week. $15,000 to $20,000 she spent on being in the select softball team. Why? Because Texas knows how to do it, right? We can be proud of that. It's amazing. There's a soccer team, a select soccer team in the Dallas area that has, I think, 80 teams, around 1,300 athletes, and the dues alone for these were $4 million. Just the dues. That's not including what they made, the extra $1.5 million they made in other things. And that's just one team for soccer. That's barely even a sport. Just kidding. I knew I was going to rile somebody up. But that's just soccer, okay? Then you've got football, you got baseball, you got volleyball, you got swimming, you got lacrosse. That's making its way up. And we are passionate about sports. But we're also passionate about one other thing. We're passionate about church. Did you know that the largest church in America is in Texas? You know what it is? Take a guess. Lakewood, 43,000 members. That's a lot. 43,000. But, you know, Gateway right over here is second, 28,000 members. Then you have Fellowship and Grapevine, I think it's three or four, that's got 24,000 members. Prestonwood's got 16,000. I could go on and on. Honestly, there are so many people. The Village down there is 10,000. There's so many churches around here that have the capacity between 4 and, you know, 20,000 people. And that's not even including the small, mid-sized churches. It's really interesting how many people are passionate about church. And I know that not all people are passionate about it. I know that for some people, if we aren't passionate about something, then we get fired up about someone else's passion. We want to kind of piggyback on that passion. When it comes to church, we're supposed to be passionate, aren't we? I know we can't get too passionate here because people may think we're charismatic. We can't have that. But the question is, are we passionate about the things of God? I know sometimes we go through the motions. Sometimes I have been there. I know in the past, I've gone through the motions and I've thought to myself, we keep going and we keep going. What is the point of all this? You know, I had a passion for God at one point, but then my passion was sometimes misdirected. It was directed elsewhere. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're going through the motions here. Maybe you're still living like the people of Israel lived. You've forgotten who you are, who you were meant to be. You've forgotten that you've been set apart, that you've been consecrated. Is that you? Have you forgotten that? I think Jeremiah forgot. Maybe he didn't even realize it, because this is what happens next. God calls to him, verse 4. Now, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. You know, Jeremiah was born into a priestly family, but that wasn't enough. Being near people who love and worship God doesn't mean you're going to automatically love and worship God. You can only piggyback on someone else's passion for so long. God had to get Jeremiah's attention, so what did he do? He called him out. He called him out, and he told him that he was consecrated before birth. He said, I've been watching you since before you were even born. I have plans for you, he said. The problem was, Jeremiah, he wasn't quite ready for this. This is what he says. He says, ah, Lord God, truly, I do not know how to speak. I am only a boy. I think this is funny, because you don't often hear a boy saying, I'm just a boy. You know, what do boys try to do their whole life? They try to become men. They try to act like they're older than they are. They're tougher. They're men. And then when we get older as men, then we try to go back to being a boy. Jeremiah, that's what happened. He's going back. He's saying, hang on a second. He shrinks back a little bit. God has this enormous task and responsibility for him, and Jeremiah shrinks back into his boyhood. So listen to what God says. He says this, "But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I'm only a boy, for you shall go to all of whom I send you. You shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you,' says the Lord." So God's response, "You're a boy, so what? There's a job to do, and I want you to do it." Can you imagine Jeremiah at that moment? What is he thinking? "Just because I'm a priestly family doesn't mean I'm really interested in this. Doesn't mean I really want to do this job or I'm even qualified." Remember Moses' response to God whenever God called him? What did he say? It's just Scott paraphrase. "Do you know who I am, God? You know what I've done? I'm not worthy of this. I don't even know how to speak well, very, do I?" And what did God say? "I'll take care of that. You need to stop complaining. Stop making excuses." Jeremiah needed a little bit more of a reminder about who he was, what God had called him to do. So here is what God does for him. "Then the Lord put out his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up, to pull down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant.'" God put his words in Jeremiah's mouth. Have you ever felt that God had given you a word to say to someone? He put something in your mouth, and maybe you said the exact right thing at the exact right moment, and it felt great. And it felt like you said something that was helpful, even though it may have been difficult, but there's that fire that's burning inside of you. It's kind of exciting that I'm saying this, and it's exactly what needed to be said. And I'm going to tell you, those moments, that's the Spirit of God. That's the passion of God coming through you. Spirit has work to do, and he wants us to do it. In Jeremiah's case, God didn't seem to be that concerned whether or not Jeremiah was all that passionate about this opportunity. Because God knows that only human interest and human passion, it only goes so far. Seems to me that for all of Jeremiah's words trying to get out of this, "I'm just a boy," what I do know is that he stayed. He didn't run away. He stayed. Even though it may have been uncomfortable, he stayed. He stayed. He made himself available to God, and God lit a fire in him. God gave him something to be passionate about. I'm going to ask you again, what are you passionate about? What is it that fires you up? If you don't know, if you're really thinking, "I really don't know," I'll give you a couple of helps. Look at your bank account. Where does your money go? Look at your house. What does your house look like? What are the pictures around? Take a moment and recall those moments whenever things are really difficult. Where does your mind wander? Be honest with yourself. What is it that you're really passionate about? I mean, my hope is that it would be the things of God, that you would be passionate about helping others, helping the church, bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. But I know that for many of us, it's not really our passion. It's not really our passion. We like it. We're here. But I think sometimes we're simply going through the motions. Maybe for some of us, this life we've built for ourselves, it's trapped our passion inside of this life of self-fulfillment and comfort. There's moments that it shines through, but for the most part, we make our way through the world as a shell of a person we used to be, maybe the shell of a person we want to be. For Jeremiah, God gave him something to be passionate about, and it was his word. His word. What would it be like if God gave us his word? It's a silly question, isn't it? We have his word. He gave us Jesus. When I began memorizing the Sermon on the Mount, I did it first just to see if I could do it. I can't remember, I think it was Shelley who said, "Hey, you should end your series just quoting the Sermon on the Mount." I said, "Oh, okay, maybe I'll do it." So I started, and what I realized is that the more I said it, the more I repeated it, the more these words started to take root. Even the difficult part. And the more these words started coming up in conversations. Whenever I would have conversations with people, I would start remembering passages from this three little chapters. And then I realized these aren't just words. These are the words of God. Straight from Jesus. They're in red letters. And now they're here. In my mouth. They're in my mind. They're in my heart. After last Sunday, I started thinking, this is exciting. What now? Now what can I put in my mind? Now what can I memorize? What else? There's something that was triggered inside of me, and it's exciting. I hope it encouraged you to memorize. But the Word of God's not new. It's right here. We all have it. This is the Word of God. Do we put it in our mouth? Are we putting it in our mind? Are we letting God put it in our mind and in our mouth and in our heart? If you want to get passionate about the things of God, if you want God to light a fire in you, I would start right here. We see Jeremiah much later. He had a very interesting road. And a lot of the things that he said were negative towards the people of Israel. And he got to a point when he was just mad. But this is what he said in verse 9 of chapter 20. He says this, in this rant he's giving to God of how he's mad because God has kind of put him in a situation where no one wants to see him coming because they know it's going to be difficult words. He says this, "If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary with holding it in." Have you ever had a passion like that? Where there is something inside you, you cannot keep it in. Now, what if that was the Word of God inside of you? You could not keep it in. If you tried, it would make you tired and exhausted. What I found is the Word of God is filling, and sometimes it just gets too much for us. We have to let it out. The more we let it out, the larger it grows in us. But I do know this. The more you allow God to put his word in your mouth, in your mind, the more you are available, even in the most difficult of situations, he will give you a passion that cannot be contained. His fire will burn within you. And if you let him, this fire will disrupt your self-seeking, comfortable life. But it will be a fire that will burn brighter, it will burn longer, and it will burn harder, hotter than anything you've ever experienced. And it all begins with the Word of God. I'm going to ask us to do something. Just everybody close your eyes for a moment. I'm going to give us a moment to think about this. I'm going to give you a moment to respond. I'm going to ask you this. Are you fired up about the things of God? When God tries to get your attention, do you sit and listen or do you busy yourself with more pursuits and more passions that may not necessarily be long-lasting? Do you make yourself available? What if the reason that you do not have the passion you want is because you've not allowed the Spirit of God to give you something to be fired up about? I'm going to ask you to consider this. Ask yourself this question. What if I allowed the Word of God into my life It wasn't just something I read or something I listened to. What if I allowed it in my life, in my mind, in my mouth? What would that do? What will you do?